Well, tonight we're going to talk about faithful in finances, and this is part one. Because one thing I can say, I've lived many years and many more to go, hallelujah.
Amen.
But I have seen many things in my life. My first husband divorced me.
Was it me?
My second husband went home to be with the Lord.
Obviously,
so I experienced
me.
The death of a husband. And now I'm married to the love of my life.
Yes! Three's a charm.
And
what do you say?
Me,
yes!
Three is the end of the line. There will not be any more. But praise God. In all of that, I can say with all confidence that God is faithful.
Amen.
He will never, never, never let you down.
So first we want to start is we have to know a foundation. The first thing you got to know about anything about finances is, first of all, that God owns everything. He owns it all. The Bible says that he owns a thousand cattle on a thousand hill. All the silver and gold are his. The world is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all the people therein. So he owns it all. So you really own nothing. So when he requires of you a little bit, he could ask for it all, but he requires just a little bit.
And you know what? God is our source. He, as Christians, we have access to unlimited and unimaginable resources. I mean, that's hard to imagine that we have that available to us when you're going through really hard times. Because you want to say, God, where are you? But God is always with you, and he will never leave you. And he is always going to provide for you. He's never late. God puts his trust in us as we operate in faithfulness, responsibility, honesty, and integrity. And when we respond to God with great respect, he will entrust us with more.
So if you know that God owns everything and he is our source, you also got to know that he is going to provide for you. He will provide for you. But you know what? The promises of God are conditional. You need to do what God says in order for you to receive what God promised. God is faithful. His word is forever settled in heaven. His word is true. He's not going to lie to you. And he does not change. So if you're going to be able to get something from God and be faithful in what you do, what you want to have, God, if you do that, God will be faithful to you. There's nothing wrong with that. First of all, God wants to provide for it. And there's nothing wrong about having wealth. You know, as long as you don't have the attitude that it's all for me, you know, you pray and my name is Jimmy, I'll take all that you can give me. You know, it's not like that.
Well, I only want just enough for me.
Oh, that's such a cop out. God wants to give you more than what you have. God has an abundance. I love, you know, John 10:10, one of my favorite verses, says, Jesus said, I come to give life and I come to give it to you more abundantly. And the Amplified says, in abundance, till it's full, until it overflows. Come on now, you can get excited about what God says. If you're not living an overflowing life, we need to get under the spout where the glory's coming out. Come on. Yeah.
There is two systems of economy. One we're very familiar with because we live in this world. And the reality of the world's economy is plunging home values, declining stock market, vanishing credit, fluctuating gas prices, ongoing war on terrorism, failing banks, soaring food costs, failing value of the dollar, swelling budget deficits. A suggested cover story for Money Magazine is best investment now and assets. If you're worried, you're not alone. But we have good news for you because not only are you... Can you have feelings of uncertainty? But consumer confidence has reached their lowest levels in decades. If you're into the world system, if you're only trusting in what the world has to offer, that's going to be the result. But the good news is there's another system that is far greater.
Amen. The Bible says you're in the world, but you're not. I didn't hear you. You're not what? So now remember that. Let's turn in your Bibles to Luke, the 16th chapter. Luke. Luke 16. And for those of you that were in our stewardship class, you should still know this by heart. That was our key scripture. I don't hear any amens, so maybe. Okay. Luke, the 16th chapter, verses 10 and 11. Say, ready? Okay, he who is faithful in what is least. Let's say it all together. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches. And mammon is money, possessions, and things. So if you're not faithful in the world's way of doing things in God's kingdom, and the Lord told me this, you know, this afternoon, that he's asking you, if you're not faithful with what God's given you now and basic stuff of the world, money, possessions, and things, it's a rhetorical question. That means you don't have to answer, because the answer is no. Who will commit to your trust the true riches? God's not going to entrust you. So you've got to be faithful in the small things in order for to be faithful in the big things.
And faithful means accountability with accuracy. I love that definition. If you ever want a financial miracle or God's blessing on your life, you're going to have to start managing well what you have right now. So how can I be faithful in much?
I'm so glad you asked. Do you want to know too? Come on, are you guys, do you want to know or don't you want to know? Come on. God.
Well, our first point for tonight is you have to be faithful to obey.
Now, do we have, is there the scripture all the way up there with the, is there scripture up, you have a scripture for Malachi 3:6-8? Yeah, there it is. Okay. First of all, in Malachi, you know what, let's turn there too. Malachi, it's the Italian prophet, Malachi. It's right before Matthew. So about halfway, you know, just do kind of that kind of thing. Malachi, the third chapter. This is my scripture for my life when I was at my lowest point. Actually, the verse 10, but we'll get to that. Verse 6, starting with verse 6, says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." Okay? I mean, that's good enough right there. I do not change. So whatever his word says, he's not going to change it for you. Well, I think God would understand. No, I do not change. "Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them." They disobeyed. They disobeyed. You have to be faithful to obey. So here the question is, "Return to me and I will turn to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said," and the question was, "in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yes, you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven so much that there will not be enough room for you to contain it." And it says, and then verse 11 says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake." God, I got challenged by this. I'd been a Christian for over 24 years, and I was not a tither. I lost my first wife. We split up. I lost my dad, two beautiful daughters. Lost my house. Right at the same time, lost my job. I had nothing, and I was living in an abandoned house. No windows, broken all out. Weeds were this high. I had to kind of do a machete kind of thing to get the front door. And I was at my lowest point. I had nothing. And God says, he reminded me of this scripture. And it says, it's the only place in the Bible where God says, test me. test me. Prove me now, says the Lord of hosts. You bring the tithes and offerings in the storehouse, and I will open up the windows of heaven to you so much that you'll have to stop God and say, I'm blessed so much I can't take it no more. So I did that. I'm yelling at my ceiling and saying, okay, God, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to play by your rules. I'm going to find the scriptures, and I'm going to do what you said exactly the way you said it. And if you don't come through, we're through. God's saying, test me. Oh, boy, did God ever come through. Praise God. Praise God. We'll get into next week about the debt, but...
Well, God had told Dennis that him meeting me was a direct result of his tithing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the story behind that is I was counting offerings. I still do count offerings, but I was counting offerings. And as a single woman, I would pay attention to men's names that didn't have a woman's name attached to it. And I kept seeing this name, Dennis Harworth. Dennis Harworth. Every week, Dennis Harworth. His name kept coming before me. I got a little curious. Who's this Dennis Harworth? Because I wanted a tither. I wanted a giver. I wanted a man of God. And that's the story behind that.
Well, you know what? If nothing else, I mean, she is love of my life. I mean, living with her is like heaven on earth. And if nothing else, for you, those that are single, I've been married 11 years, 10 months, and 17 days. And it is so good. I mean, that's how good it is, because I keep track. and if you tithe just for that reason, that God will bless you. I mean, that is a blessing. You'll open the windows so much that you can't contain it. God wants to bless you. Oh, she's such a blessing. Okay, where were we?
Well, we wanted to tell you 10 things about tithing, because it is critical. It is all important to do it God's way. Because then God will bless you. The tithe is 10%. It's the first 10%. Not wait to see what you have left over. It's the first 10%, right off the top. Give God the first fruit.
Tithing is not optional. It already belongs to God. He owns it all. He's only requiring 10%. It's not your money.
Tithing is an act of obedience to God's command. God commands us to bring all the tithe into the storehouse.
It's not an option.
Trust me. Quit resisting this. Quit fighting it. And begin to do it God's way. And watch him bless your socks off.
And tithing is not a one-time event. It's a lifestyle. And it's so amazing is just when, you know, you get blessed and God blesses you. And I mean, we don't have time for testimonies. We'll try to get in a couple of them next week. But it is so amazing that when you see the hand of God in your life, he moves upon your life, and he can get things a million different ways if you just do what he says.
Tithing is the first step to your financial freedom, because it opens up the windows of heaven.
Tithing is the first priority of your money management. You want to know how to manage your money? You want to know how your finances work? How are you going to be faithful in your finances if you're not even tithing?
Tithing is a declaration of God's ownership and preeminence of our lives. It's not about the money. It's about the act of obedience that comes from the heart that says, God, I'm putting my trust in you. I'm following your word. I'm going to do it your ways. It's an attitude of the heart.
Tithing demonstrates our faith in God as our provider and our protector. The Bible says in Malachi 3:11 that he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. For your sake. We used to live in Ritchie Canyon, and I remember a few years ago, man, Ritchie Canyon was all burning like crazy. And we lived up there, I drove up to the house, and the flames were the house next to us, and the flames were above the house. And I just got on the edge of my property and I said, I am a tither and not one grass on my property will be singed. And the fire went right around and kept right on going. Never touched a grass on our property. He will rebuke the devourer for your sake.
Concerning the tithe, it is the only place in the Bible that God wants us to test him.
Amen.
He will prove himself.
And he will prove it over and over and over and over and over and over. Come on, you guys. Pastor Luke said you guys are really lively. I need some response here.
This is my favorite one, is tithing actually obligates God to begin blessing you. God is faithful to his promise, and he will begin to bless you.
Now, we're going to go over some fallacies. And one of the biggest fallacies in finances, the first one is, I can't afford it. I can't afford it. You can't afford not to. And especially, and this is a question that if you've already written it, it's okay. We're going to answer it now. Should you tithe off the gross or should you tithe off the net? And I want to take this opportunity to ask Raul and Chandel, can you come up, please, and give us a quick testimony? In six short, or, okay, just Chantel. Raul's a shy one. Give it this. Go ahead and...
Hey, guys. I just want to give a quick testimony. Prior to going to the stewardship class, my husband was not working, and we were only operating on one income, and it was very, very difficult. So I took the stewardship class, and I was tithing off of my net income. And so Dennis mentioned that it's supposed to be gross. And so I was like, gross? How can I do that? We're already struggling with just one income. So I decided to just take my faith to an extra step. And God not only blessed him with a job, but he blessed me. I received a bonus. I received a raise. I started writing my first book. We moved into a bigger place. It was just really amazing. So, you know, trust God and put him first. And now it's become a lifestyle. Whenever I get my paycheck, the very first gross, that's what I do. And then my bills are next. And God has never failed ever since I've done
amen,
that.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That is good. Another fallacy, which means a falsehood or a false idea, is I'm going through too much stuff right now. Well, you know, after I get past this.
What's that?
I'll tithe after I get through this stuff, you know. You know, when you are down and out and at the bottom of the barrel, at the worst place possible, that's the best time to start tithing. That's the best time to start putting your trust in God and believing God. I mean, when Luke first met me, of course he doesn't remember, he was a little tiny guy, but I was living in a tent. My family was homeless. And so instead of being homeless, we just went on an extended camping trip. We lived in our tent for 6 weeks. So, and I'm here to say that God gets you out of your worst messes, and he gets you back on track and gets you moving forward.
Another fallacy is as soon as I get more money, then I'll start.
Yeah, God, you give it to me, then I'll give it back.
That's like going, I love Pastor Jim's analogy. You go to the fireplace and you say, fireplace, give me warmth. Well, first you got to put some wood in and light the thing, okay? But that's when I get more money, then I'll start to give.
Well, 2 Corinthians 8:12 said, "For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have." God will never expect you to give what you don't have. He wants you to start right where you're at. Start with what you do have. What do you have in your hand to give? And he'll take you from there.
There was a man pushing a little cheese and milk cart in the streets of New York. And he was a Christian, and he was utterly failing. He was going hungry. And he says, "Lord, what's going on? I trust you. I believe in you. You know, I'm a Christian." It's like that. That's automatic, you know, auto magic. Okay, and the Lord says, "You need to tithe." So he started tithing. His name, J.L. Kraft, Kraft Food Cheese, started his entire corporation on the principles of tithing. Now it's so amazing that Kraft Food just bought recently Cadbury chocolate for a price of $19.6 billion. That's B with a boy. Billion. Now, if you can imagine that, I mean, their revenue, Kraft's revenue in 2008, their annual revenue was $42 billion. It started because here's a guy pushing a little cart around, and God wants to bless you. No matter where you're at, no matter what level of income you're in, God wants to do that for you. William Colgate. Colgate toothpaste. Hopefully, you know, you might have used some tonight. Okay. He not only has given millions in the gospel, he got to the point where he was giving 100% of his personal income to the kingdom of God. How about Albert Heijn? You probably don't know who Albert Heijn is. He was $1 million in debt. Is anybody here $1 million in debt? Okay, see, so now that covers everybody, all right? So if God can do it for Albert Heijn, he can do it for you. He's a Christian. He's going, Lord, I'm $1 million in debt, and I don't know what to do. Lord says, make me your first creditor. Give me right off the top of everything that you make. And he started doing that, and the Lord gave him an idea. Mentholatum rub. Not only got out of debt, he's a multimillionaire now. God wants to bless you. And it's just either whether it's an idea or whether it's an income. I like a couple named Welch. Went to Africa to preach the gospel. His wife got deathly sick and they had to come back to America. Their hearts were broken because they so desired to be in the missionary field, but her health would not allow her. So he says, you know what? If I'm not going to go, I'm going to be able to finance and send somebody with them. Start growing grapes. Welch's grape juice. There you go. Jam, jellies, and all that good stuff. Every one of these started out poor. So be faithful to God to obey, and he will be faithful to supply.
So point one was faithful to obey. Point two is faithful to trust. The difference between obey and trust is that's all about the heart. It's the attitude. You can't trust unless you trust with your heart.
You can be mechanical and give 10%. And you could just write that's the amount, check. There's the amount, check. Okay, that's a mechanical. It's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. Laura loves a cheerful giver. It's all about the heart. So when you give with the heart, God will bless you.
Well, Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. He wants to establish his covenant. That means he wants you to be blessed so you can be a blessing.
And if you have to be faithful to trust God to keep his word. He has a covenant. That means a covenant that cannot be broken. So you got God's word on where you need to be. Exodus 15:2, the Lord is my strength and my song and has become my salvation. You need to trust God for your salvation. Yes, to save your souls for eternity. But the word salvation in the Strong's means something saved, delivered, hence aid, victory, and prosperity. I love the Greek lexicon. Those that go to Bible college, I mean, that lexicon is just coming so handy. If one finds himself in that condition, he is in good health and enjoys prosperity, having salvation. It conveys the idea of deliverance from distress. How many knows that? When you're in debt, you're distressed. Okay, the source of this salvation comes from outside the situation.
Prosperity means having enough of God's provision to complete his purpose for your life. It doesn't do any good to have a calling on your life or a purpose for your life when you can't afford to go do it, or you don't have the resources or the gifts or talents to go do it. God says he will provide that. It means to have more than you can use. It is the ability to use the power of God to not only meet and exceed your need, but to also meet the need of others. There is no greater joy and blessing in this life than to be able to give unto somebody else and help them out.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
We have some pastors in the Ukraine that we support financially. And we have had the privilege of actually going to the Ukraine 3 different times in missions trips. The first time we went with Good Shepherd Ministries and the group from the church. The second 2 times we went all on our own, all by ourselves. God set us up with some contacts, and we went. And it's been such a joy. I had just sent some resources to them, and I got an email back. And just their gratitude is just, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, it just makes me weep. It's like, Lord, I want to send more. I want to give more. There's just so much joy in being able to help somebody else out.
You know, when you have to know that money is not the only, it's not the first thing. The first thing you need to know about money, it's not the first thing. Money cannot, money it only can be used, and it's only valuable if it's traded for goods and services. I mean, if we take a dollar bill, to another country that doesn't use money, it's just a piece of paper. And you can't trust in that. Even though on our dollar bills it says, in God we trust. Well, hello, that's what it means. In God we trust. Not like you remember the rich young ruler in Mark the chapter 10th chapter? Jesus said, he's a rich man, so all that you have, come follow me. And he goes, man, I can't do that. He went away sorrowful because he had great riches. If he would have given, the verse reads after that, it says, he will be blessed 100-fold in this life, plus have eternity. Ooh! But he wanted to hold on to his riches. You cannot trust in riches. So you have to be faithful not only to obey, you have to be able to trust God for what he says, so that he's going to do what he says. You just need to do what you need to do in order to take God at his word. I had to do that, but I didn't. This is before I started tithing. Got into real bad debt while I was married. Of course, that's usually pretty easy to do. But I started working more hours, more jobs. Ended up working 5 jobs at one time. I was working over 100 hours a week. I was trusting in myself to get myself out of debt. As a Christian, didn't trust God. All it did was get me further in debt and ruined my life. I lost my, literally, because I worked so much, I lost my wife because of my ignorance in the Word of God. And I don't want that to happen to either, any of you, any of you.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is one of my favorite verses. I spend a lot of time in this one and just mulling it over and letting it roll around inside of me. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Isn't it good that we don't have to figure it out ourselves? God says, in all your ways, in all your walking out of life, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Oh man, that just takes the pressure off. It's like, we don't have to figure it out. We don't have to have all the answers. All we have to do is trust in the Lord with all our hearts, knowing that he is faithful, that we can trust him with everything we've got, with all that we are. And from somebody who's seen many experiences in my life, I can tell you that this word is true. You can trust him because he will not let you down and he will take care of you. And even though his direction may not be what you think it should be, in the end, it's always the best thing for you. Always the best.
The world's way of wealth and prosperity, it brings sorrow. But these are the ungodly people who prosper in the world. They increase in riches, Psalm 73:12. The world is a system of commerce. Anything operating in this system of commerce outside the blessing of God and the word of God, it will bring sorrow. So in order to understand God's will for your life, you need to look at the word. Because the word of God is the will of God. And the word of God begins where the will of God is known. And the will of God is known where the word of God begins. It all begins with the word. You want to know the will for your life? Does God want you to be prosperous? Yes. Before you even think about it. Yes, he wants you prosperous. It is his will for your life. So let's look at, do we have the world's economy?
Well, according to the world's economy, you seek after wealth.
God's economy, seek first the kingdom.
The world's economy, it's hard striving to be first.
God, humble yourself. Faith with humility. Well, great message Sunday.
In the world, your covetousness.
But you're generous as a Christian, as in God's economy.
In the world, we delight in things.
Oh, then you can delight in the Lord.
We sacrifice to obtain in the world.
Sacrifice to obey.
Selfish and greedy.
Selflessness, giving.
In the world, there's pressure to be better all the time.
And God's economy, you pursue God.
Well, the results of God's economy will bring depression.
Oh, yeah, but the God's economy will bring joy. Yeah.
In the world, we have disappointment.
And you can have reward.
In the world, we have lack.
But at God's, you have abundance.
We'll have heartache.
Heart's delight.
Poverty.
Prosperity.
Failure.
Success.
Stress.
Peace.
In debt.
Debt free. Yeah. Woo. Now, do you want God? You want the world's way, or you want God's way?
That's God's way.
So we've covered three things. The first two we've covered: faithful to obey. You need to be faithful to obey. You need to be faithful to trust. And I like this third point. You got to be faithful to just do it. Nike has it right. Just do it. James 1:22 says, don't be just a hearer of the word. In San Bernardino language, just do it. Don't listen, just do it.
Proverbs 10:4 says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich.
It's up to you. If you're going to be in lack, you're going to be slack. So it's up to you, your choice. You want to be rich?
Proverbs 13:4 says, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made rich.
I mean, that's the word of God. If you want to know this and you want to be this, you got to do this.
Diligence means painstaking effort. You're going to have to work at this. It's not something that's just going to come easy or just, you know, I got it. No, you're going to have to work at this. It's going to take your life. It's going to take all that you have and all that you are. It's going to take effort. And it's going to take it being a lifestyle. You're going to have to change.
No.
The Bible makes it clear that diligence, being willing to work hard and do one's best at any job given to him or her, is a vital part of wise living.
Well, we might work hard. We work hard not to become rich, famous, or admired. Okay, I'm 2 out of 3. Although those may be byproducts. It's true. But you serve God with our very best during our lives.
God promises that he will bless those who obey and serve him. He will provide for those who trust in him. Many times we equate provision with great wealth, according to the world's economy. So if you say, I'm prosperous, you automatically think that means I have lots of money.
Mm-mm.
That will come with it in time. But prosperous means you're doing well in every arena of life. Because you can have lots of money, but if you're sick in your body, you are not prosperous.
Yeah.
If you're healthy and you have money, but you have a lousy marriage, you're not prosperous.
God wants
you to prosper in every arena of life, body, soul, spirit, financially, relationally, every arena of life.
So in order to accomplish what God has in our lives, we need to listen to what he says. We have to obey what he says. We have to trust what he says. We have to do what he says.
You know, sometimes you just have to be willing to change and go forward with your life. I've been managing the church's finances for 22 years now. And when I first started out, the annual income of the church was $30,000. We were a little tiny church back then. We'd have 25 people on a Wednesday night. As you've seen, the church is a little bigger than that now. And as the church has grown and changed, I've had to grow and change. Because it takes millions of dollars to manage an organization this size. And so if I didn't grow and change with it, I couldn't be managing what I manage now if I stayed back at the $30,000 level. And so you're going to have to grow and change with your life as new experiences. You get married, you have children, as your job increases, as you go through college. Have you ever noticed life changes? You have to be willing to grow and change with it and take on new challenges and new responsibilities, because God will only entrust you with more when you're ready to go forward.
Amen.
So next week, we will begin to put together the spiritual principles that we learned tonight. We'll begin to apply them to the practical principles on how to manage your natural resources.
You don't want to miss it. Did you get anything out of tonight? Yeah.